Hi everyone, welcome to Type Talks. Today we have all the TP types, the ISTP, ESTP, INTP, and ENTP. And so, Jay, would you like to tell us a bit about you?
I'm Jay. I guess I got into typology stuff about 4 years ago, and I was typed by Joyce last fall. And that's about it. I'm a machinist, tool maker. I do some computer stuff for programming, like CNC machines, CAD CAM work. I guess that's kind of my career field anyways. And so I enjoy like motor sports, not really a team basketball, football kind of player. So, you know, that's kind of summarizes everything.
Yes, the short and sweet intro. Great. And Charles?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Charles. I'm an ESTP. I work in software in sales. As far as what I like to do, I just like to travel a lot, go out and, you know, party during the weekends, really into team sports. Like, in fact, why I'm wearing this is because I just came from a football game that I played with my flag football team league I'm in. So really into just sports and running and hanging out and eating good food and doing anything that really feels good or tickles my fancy that day. So that's a little bit about me.
I love how Jay at the beginning's like, I do solo sports. And then Charles is like, team sports. Yeah.
Yeah. That EI difference there.
Mm-hmm. And Spacey?
Spacey, I'm an INTP. I've been researching and talking about typology for, I guess, like 5 or 6 years now. I have a YouTube channel where I don't really make videos anymore because I'm too much of a perfectionist to make one. And I do type people kind of well, sort of. And I'm a maintenance technician at an auto plant and also an electrician. You know, I like to party every now and then too, but I really haven't gotten to do it for a long time.
How do you party? What makes a party for you?
Lights, music, drugs.
Gotcha.
I love that answer.
Yeah, the IP perfectionism. We're glad to have you on, Spacey. I'll have his channel linked below. So, Boris, tell us a bit about you.
A bit? Well, I'm Boris. I used to think that I have a mental illness, but then I discovered MBTI and said, it's ENTP. This explains everything. I'm running a Toronto-based MBTI group with sort of an N focus. Everybody's welcome, but that's how I know Joyce. For a living, I write software. I'm a self-employed software engineer. Do any kind of consulting that relates to it. I mean, if you want business analysis, et cetera. I look forward to a very chill TP couple hours.
It is going to be very chill indeed. Well, not the drugs kind of chill, that's basically it. But it is going to be chill.
Don't speak for Spacey, okay? Speak for yourself.
And so, hi everyone. My name is Joyce and I'm a certified MBTI Master Practitioner. And I facilitate the instrument in organizations. I also help people with the discovery of their type preferences. And I also coach people. All right, TPs, I'm wondering, what do you share in common with one another? What would you speculate, hypothesize are the commonalities?
I can go beyond speculation. There is that TI in there, the thing that we all love, I think. A way of looking at the world, which is probably very contrasting to TE. I find when I'm around, well, TPs, we speak a common language. It's not always the best to have just TI users or in aux or in a high position, but it's definitely something that makes me feel at home. And in general, I think it's a very chill atmosphere. They tend to be kind of chill, easygoing. Don't sweat the stuff too much. And now I'll stop because I don't want to talk too much.
Yeah. Typically when you, sorry, I'm a little sick. So typically, I have Kermit voice. The awkwardness, so don't worry.
Oh, that is your charm. Actually, people come to see just to be human and
goof up. Typically, what happens is
Oh no! Yeah, a trait of TPs is that they mock you.
Oh, we do.
Specifically, the ESTP and the ENTP, their FE tertiary likes to get that reaction out of you.
It feels so good. You just can't help it.
Did she just slide us? I think she slided us.
You teased me mercilessly, Boris.
He's a mercenary and I'm never mind. It's okay.
So when you have NE or SE at the top in your first or second function, you're showing the world your perceiving function, your extroverted perceiving function. That causes a chilledness, a laid-backness, a casualness.
I don't know if this is TI specifically, but I feel like TI types know what matters and how things work. And so they can kind of re-engineer the system in their head and get maximum results for themselves. I don't know if we're so good as like TE users is making it work for the whole tribe per se, but definitely us, we can work through systems like no other and propel ourselves. I don't know if that has to do with being extroverted and a TI user or if that's just pure TI, but that's how I experience it. I can quickly, when I'm listening to instructions or whatever, just hear, figure out how it works. And then as I do it, figure out ways to get like the accurate result.
Yeah, so Charles, for your variation of TP, which is the ESTP, it has a different interaction style in Linda Barron's, in her type system, and it's in charge.
Yeah.
So yours is actually the most pseudo TE interaction style. So ESTPs can actually look very TE-like due to their like ability to optimize systems, but it's the SE figuring things out as it goes and the TI that is able to figure out systems. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is definitely a quality of TI.
Yeah, the experience of doing it combined with that TI kind of creates that for me.
I think I would agree. It has to be paired with a dominant NE or SE, because I think TI by itself wants to build models. And in an introvert, and I'm not trying to speak on behalf of Spacey or Jay, let them chime in as well, of course. I think TI actually could be, it's at risk of not caring too much about the result too much and wanting to build this ever-growing model. Whereas I think NE and SE kind of clips and say, okay, let me grab some data. Okay, let's run it through TI. And okay, now there's something we can maybe do. It's the combination with NE or SE that makes you stop, because I could see an INTP or an ISTP, even I myself, being at risk of getting lost in TI world and building models and detaching from what's happening and what needs to be done.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I agree with that for myself.
I guess I would like to hear a little bit from Jay as far as like,
I'm guessing middle, huh?
Yeah, I guess TI DOMs can sort of get stuck in. I mean, I feel like from my perspective, there's not a whole lot of like, quote unquote, model building going on. That's not exactly what it feels like. I think all of us probably figure things out as we go, more or less. But, you know, as you figure things out, you're kind of automatically building some kind of model that that you use to navigate things. I think it's kind of like a lot, for me at least, it's like a lot of trial and error sort of process. We just kind of figure things out for ourselves, and I think we just kind of see what kind of maybe response we get from other people or from the environment. I guess a lot of the time for me, if I'm trying to figure out if something's right or not, and I guess this is purely on a conceptual level, that is all done kind of through a dialectic, like communicative process with people. So it's sort of like, well, this is what I think is true. What do you think? And they're like, well, I don't think it's true because X, Y, and Z, but it's more about, can we agree on what is true or what is the best or right way to do things?
Yeah, so there's this element with the introverted judging functions. So TI and FI, they check in with the self. And so TI likes to check in, does this make sense to itself? And it can be a bit of a no machine. It can go like, no, that doesn't make sense. Or it can be quick to kind of notice when things are like fishy or illogical.
Inconsistent problem.
Yeah.
I know I've come across the, you know, when you're faced with a problem and, you know, you're kind of thinking about it on your feet. And, you know, a lot of times some people like to try to tell you how to do it and that it's done a certain way. And I know I personally like to explore the different ways of doing something. And then a lot of times I'm not married to that necessarily, that the next time I come across that same problem, more than likely I'll just erase everything I've done already and start over fresh and do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see a different...
I'm going to listen. I need to plug in my power, but I'm going to listen while I'm muted. Sorry about that. My power is about to die. I'm listening.
But, you know, like just to see if I can come up with a different way of doing something and not necessarily it's right or wrong. And a lot of times if people ask me about, you know, my opinion on something, a lot of times I will say, well, there's 1,000 ways of doing this. This is the way that I prefer to do it. And I choose, you know, this way, but more than likely you're going to find your own way of doing it. And maybe it's faster. Maybe it's better. I don't know. But, you know, that's just one of those things that, you know, I'm not really one to like to have, you know, a book read to me and said, well, this is the directions, you know, because somebody wrote that book and more than likely, you know, that doesn't mean that they're right or wrong.
Yeah. It always blows my mind how people will be like, of course they're right or wrong because they have this credential or that credential. And I'm like,
right.
I mean, that doesn't really matter because I could just logic. I think from a TI perspective, we kind of maybe know how, like, we could easily like leverage ourselves into a situation that and bullshit our way through it, even though we're not exactly the most competent for the role. So whenever like I see that, I'm like, it's possible that somebody is in that role because nepotism or because they charm their way into it or whatever. And so I just don't tend to trust titles or anything like that. It blows my mind when people like blindly listen to that.
I have to second that. And I wonder if that's an ENTP trait or a general TP trait. Because for me, title means nothing. Because I think it might come from, we trust our TI. We know TI is a powerful tool. It looks at consistency. We can arrive at the truth. If you proclaim something towards me, it's like, tell me what you started out with as assumptions. I can think my way through. I trust myself. I can meet Einstein. And if I don't get something, I would say, okay, well, I respect you, but can you explain that to me? Just because he's Einstein, I wouldn't say, yes, you're right. You know what I mean? And I wonder if it's an ETP thing or whether that's shared by Spacey and Jay.
You know, and something also that I noticed in conversation with people that I think are TP or, you know, TI users, if you get them talking about something that they're interested in and they seem to know a lot about, then a lot of times they'll just start rattling off information at you.
Yeah.
Where like people that are, you know, the boss figure type of people, generally those people don't do that. You know, like in the, what I would think are ESTJs or ENTJs.
Sorry. Don't trigger me. Don't trigger me.
Well, you know, I'm just.
My nemesis. The non-jumper, that is.
It's almost like ENTJs, because I actually went and worked out this morning with one of my ENTJ buddies. And he's always like pushing to challenge me. Like, I feel like with SC First, very athletic, but he understands because he cares about that, how to build on that and actually challenge me. So I work out with him like every Sunday. And this morning, like, it's like he's not explaining stuff, but what I notice is he like lays out, I don't know how to describe it. He like leads you there. And I always wonder, like, why can't you just like deliver the information and the why and the everything behind it instead of just the steps. But I think that is definitely a TE difference. It's like they're more doing with the logic than going to explain it to you and get deep into it outwardly. Mm-hmm. But it does tend to work. So for some of them, it depends on the TJ because there's some real interesting ones I've met. But when they're competent, yes, they do tend to be able to get you to a place you need to be and like hit all those metrics, but they don't do it the same way TPs do. If you've ever had like a TP manager or friend or whatever.
And I know like some of the interests that I take on are usually all just my interests. You know, if I'm doing something, a lot of times it's because I'm interested in it and I want to learn more about it, whether it's, you know, say some sort of an activity or if it's just something to read something information on Google or something, you know, just to kind of get another background point of view or something.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if I'm learning something, it's trying to do some sort of mechanical thing myself. But, you know, obviously everyone's a little different, but.
I'd say I'm like that with doing things. I like figuring out how to do things physically and maybe studying them and breaking them down. I don't know if that's an NS difference for me personally or having TI second. It's like I don't care about like random topics per se unless they're going to help me like make money or do something like that's going to give me more experience. Because like I don't know how to describe it. I'm a slave to the experience first. So TI definitely supports that. And I'll get very interested if I want to have like an experience doing something. I got to know all the TI about it. Like, I'll be like, oh, this was really interesting how this happened when I did this. Like, how does that work?
I don't think any of us really care about like credentials or like titles or authority or anything like that. That's definitely just like a not valuing TE basically. You know, TE is looking for some sort of objective metric of either competency or effectiveness. And, you know, a lot of the time, yeah, like they'll say like, this is the way something is done. Why? Because it consistently gets acceptable results. We as TI users, I think we're actually going to get to this point where like, we need to understand, right? Why is this the way that it's done, right? What is effective about it? And if we get to a point where we understand it well enough, then we start to realize like, well, there actually could be a better way of doing it. And then we'll write a book that all the TE users will start to follow. But, you know,
yeah, the enlightened ones, there might be the ignorant ones. That's how we used to do it back in Russia in the 60s. Oh, yeah. That's how you're still doing it. Yeah.
You know, the TE users, to their credit, they'll be like, oh, you know what? This guy's onto something. This works really damn well. So now this is the way of doing it. Also, I think for me at least, and maybe this is more of like an intuitive thing, it's like I try to understand something first on a conceptual level. So, right, based on my understanding of how this works, this should be the best way of doing it, or this should work out really well. But it does often happen that when you try it out, it actually doesn't work as well as you thought it would. And you must have been missing something, because once you move into the real world and actually start applying stuff, there's like a whole bunch of variables that you can't possibly take into consideration. And so, you know, you have to figure out more of like a, basically a TE way of doing it, where you're like, I have to meet the world halfway and come up with a way that may not be theoretically the best, but it happens to work out better in practice.
This is interesting. I think SCTI is a little different on these TI things. Like as far as the TI, I think because it comes second, I have to have that experience, and I never think like to think through it before. I'll pick out the principles afterwards. And then as far as like doing things better, it's usually like I'll see the system that I'm in, whether it's work, whether it's a career, or whether it's like just playing like a sport down at like the beach or park or something. Like I'll just look at ways to leverage, or whether it's like a social circle or something, I'll look at ways to leverage with that TI and how I can do this more effectively for myself to get the result I want. But I won't think about the system in terms of everybody. And I wonder if that's TI only focusing on me, or if that's like SE immediacy or what it is. But it's kind of like a little bit of a difference there.
I think he might be onto something. I mean, maybe Spacey can speak, not to create a juxtaposition, but SE with TI might be different. It might be looking more like TE because it's more grounded in reality and it's willing to say, let's just get this SHIT done. Whereas for me, it can actually be really offensive if I'm doing something and somebody tells me to do something and I don't understand why, or I see they don't understand why, even though it might have been working three times. I'm like, hold on. I got to understand that. I'm not going to just blindly follow you. I have to really understand more than to just accept, oh, yeah, it's working for you. Well, maybe it is, but maybe it can work better. And I think as you might be a little more willing to like, no, let's get this shit done. So they cut off earlier and have a lower threshold of, oh, yeah, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think?
And in my experience, I'd agree, because when I was I used to be a mechanic like years ago, and I worked with an INTP, and he literally had to understand everything in and out about the car, even just before he started doing like oil changes and flipping tires. Like he had to understand why the lugs went on this way, how this all worked. But what that led to is one thing I've noticed about INTPs, like in my life, and ENTPs too, because I had a couple of ENTP buddies in college. They take a lot of time in the beginning, but once they understand it, they can really run with it faster than everybody and really like master things quickly. ISTPs too, like with that like TI slowing down and really figuring stuff out, it can seem slow to like maybe like an ESTJ who wants it done now, but you guys tend to master things a lot better than other personality types, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Well, I think it has to do, you know, if you get a little groundwork, you know, you kind of, like you said, the lug nuts, you know, if you get the groundwork of that's how it's done, and then you kind of get your basis off of that, and then you can go faster after that because you're not wasting your time trying to think about something that you can just automatically do with your SE.
Yeah.
You know, like I know me personally when I'm driving, a lot of times, you know, I don't say a thing when I'm driving and I'm thinking the whole time, you know, I maybe have a 20-mile car trip and I don't remember any of it because I was thinking the whole time, but I might have swerved around deer automatically or, you know, dodged something or, you know, maybe an icy patch of road. But, you know, that's, I think that has a lot to do with, you know, stuff like that, where it's just kind of an automatic after the groundwork is laid. You know, like 20 years ago, I got my driver's license. I kind of passed that hurdle and now it's time to run with it.
Nice. And I relate to that. I'll basically have that automatic response after I've had enough experience. So I'll rush in and I'll just figure out as I go what's correct, what's incorrect. And then once I have that, it's like while the NTPs and ISTPs seem to be like modeling it in their head, I'm more so like trying it out, trial and error, and I'll try hella different things. But after a while, and I'll still make progress because I'm doing stuff during that time. But then like it's like through that trial and error, I know what experiences worked and what experiences didn't. And then like I'll tap into that as well. So it's interesting how we get to the same place, but just from a different beginning point, sounds like.
And how you said you model it, I know, you know, like I guess there's a lot of that time spent thinking about, you know, if I've got a problem ahead of me, I like to kind of skirt around it and kind of put it off for now. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I kind of have my come to my decision on how I'm going to proceed, then I'll, you know, attack it and move forward.
Oh, Boris, I was kidding when I was saying that at the beginning when I was talking about the
I'm cool. You can tell me if that's something you want to share, but I was not upset with anything.
Yeah, because I think at the beginning I was like, everyone share except Boris. And I was like, well, I was joking.
It's really hard to offend me. I think you would have to. I don't think you can. I mean, this is a challenge now.
I don't think ETPs could ever be offended. It's so hard to hit our FI.
You can offend my logic, actually. I can get really annoyed sometimes when I'm around people, especially in a debating context. And I'm not talking about being typical, but somebody tries to say something. Oh, yeah, this is true. And they just rapid fire these statements and claims without any substance. And then you try to dig into it. It's like, oh, yeah, let's look at that. And then they just rapid fire, like, hold on, slow down. It can really get to me. It offends my TI. Those people, that's one way of pissing me off, just spewing bullshit with confidence and then trying to bully your way into, yeah, it has to be true because I'm saying it. It's like, hold on. Yeah, that's one of the few things that get to me.
That. Yeah, let's back up and come through that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's annoying when things are untrue and they're stating it. It's irritating beyond all belief. But yeah, so Charles and Boris mentioned something pretty interesting. So it's a good differentiation between those two types because a lot of ESTPs actually mistype as ENTP in their early on MBTI journey, because everyone kind of thinks they're intuitive when they first join MBTI. But one of the big differences is that ESTPs have a way more jump into action very quickly kind of mentality, and you'll see in the words that they choose to use. So ESTPs tend to use lingo like, just do it. And it's going to sound almost like pseudo TE-like because they have an interaction style called in charge in Linda Barron's system. So if someone kind of types themselves out as ENTP, but they seem almost like pseudo TE-ish, consider ESTP is a huge possibility too.
I see what you're getting at, but internally, yes, there's no planned out deep intricacies there that I think the TE users have. It's a lot of just go.
Yeah, that's the difference between like an ESTP and an actual TE user. ESTPs are just go, and the TE users have a level of plannedness to it, and the planningness is what separates them.
Yeah, our reaction time saves us. That's literally what I think ESTPs are relying on. I'm gonna be honest, yeah.
And ESTPs are also more succinct when they talk too. Like they talk about what matters and that's it. So, because it's the NISE, it's like, all right, I'm going to funnel it all down to this is noise, this is what matters. Yeah. Right. Whereas the ENTP is more like, we're going to take trains, many different trains with no clear conclusion.
What are you talking about? No, I built the world for you. Here's the whole train schedule where you ever would want to go. It took me an extra day, but. Actually, I want to speak. Well, maybe it's a long story. To speak to what Charles said earlier, I agree. One example, maybe TI versus TE. When I first joined a consulting firm, a friend of mine who I now know to be INTJ, we both joined the company, and there were 5 days of consecutive exercises where we had to learn about the product, the software tool. Mm-hmm. I was on the first day. I was the slowest guy. My friend delivered the deliverable first on the first day, the second day, and the third day. I was the slowest guy on the first. On the second, I was near the bottom. Third day, he was still beating me. Fourth day, we were even. Fifth day, I actually beat him. I finished the final assignment first out of all the people, but I was the slowest guy to start it out because I have this ramp up time. And so you could say both approaches are valid. He had 3 deliverables early, but the final delivery, I pretty much had it done on the fourth day because I already thought about it. Oh, what could possibly in fifth day is saying, no, let's build this. I'm like, I'm done, right? So it's, I mean, you can lose out with that, but it's just to know these two strategies are both valid. Ideally, you mix people. I have really good rapport with this fellow, this INTJ guy I used to work with. We've pulled projects out of the gutter as students where people say we give up, and it's like, can we do it? It's a nice synergy, and you want to respect the other. Ideally, you have both inform each other, right? So there's no good or bad. Mm-hmm. So if I had a team, I love you guys, but I would want one INTJ on the team. Mm-hmm. That kind of gives the other perspective. Vice versa, they can really be lost, like, oh my god, my plans are falling apart. I'm like, we already thought about it. So it's, I respect both. They have a place, right? I don't want to say one is better than the other. I have a definite preference.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good way of kind of like, if someone's wondering if they're a TP or a TJ, one of the big differences that's also butchering it is the degree to which you plan. So TJs typically, TE structures beforehand a sort of cost, like a, almost a systematizing a certain type of TE way of going about it, whereas the TPs are more go with the flow approach. TPs mm-hmm. kind of like are figuring out the system as they're going.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say though is I think what I, at least speaking for myself, it's we do build contingencies. So we don't have ready-made, you must do this, but I'm really making these half ready-to-go tools for myself and sometimes waste time. Like in this exercise, first day I had to build something. I'm like, okay, let me understand this. Oh, wait a sec. I'm going to build myself this tool. They all make sense. I'll need them someday. I was the slowest to complete. So there is some planning, but it's sort of contingency based as maybes rather than definite. I'm going to run with that.
Yeah. And you're contingency planning in order to keep your options open so that you, when you want to do it, then you can all do it in this spurt.
Nice. One thing I read about recently that I felt like I resonated with, I wanted to actually bring it up on here, was that because we have TI before FE, all of us, there's like this pull, and I know I feel it, where we might be looking at something and the crowd is doing groupthink. The group, whatever it may be, at work, it may just be a friends, a social circle, whatever, but we kind of see that they're making like quick conclusions, and through that TI running the situation through that, we see, okay, maybe this is not right. And I think all TIs have this tripwire where they might learn when you're young, you just kind of spit it out. Like, no, that's correct or that's incorrect. And you argue and whatnot. And then you get negative feedback from that. So one thing I read on, and it was just a Reddit post, but I kind of resonated with it, was that like TPs kind of go through this complex where a lot of times they know they're right, but at the same time, they know what being right might make the tribe angry. So there's always like this back and forth where we kind of learn as we grow up, figuring out when to use the TI and when to just do our own thing and let the tribe do their own thing and fail so that we can get win-win. I don't know if you guys relate to that, where it's just not worth it sometimes and you can escape yourself. I hate to say it that way, but it's like.
Definitely. That's where FE comes in, because it's not just how do I communicate this, but also how is it going to come across? How is it going to be received? And is it actually going to be effective if I try to insert myself here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you find that a distinction? And I'm throwing it to the group. I mean, my theory was the ETPs, TI and FE are kind of closer together. So it's probably easier for them to play with each other and synergistically saying, you're in charge, you're in charge. ITPs find it's a little harder because the functions are, at least on paper, further apart? Do you find it difficult to consider FE, or it's just, hey, it plays well with TI, which I believe Charles and I learned the hard way at some point in life. Yeah, those two have to inform each other because we have to look out for the tribe. And if they're that close, the strength is probably more comparable. Yep. I'm just curious how the ITPs feel.
Mm-hmm. As far as like myself, I know, you know, there's a big drive to try to help people. So, you know, like if there's a neighbor that has a problem with their lawnmower, or, you know, like I'm going to, whether they argue with me about other things and I'm not really fond of them, I'll still go and help them with their lawnmower. Or, you know, like if I'm driving down the road and I'm at a four corners and there's four-way stop, I'm usually just kind of like leave my car, roll ahead a little bit farther so I can let everybody go before me, and then I'll go. Or hold the door open for people, you know, or, you know, I think that myself is kind of how my FE kind of shows. And I'm kind of, you know, sometimes it's kind of a downfall because it's like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but I got to do it because that's, you know, I'm trying to help someone out, or, you know, whatever.
I think we're actually, perhaps ironically, I think we're like actually way more worried about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are. I think you guys a lot more fluidly, and it doesn't cause as much anxiety and worry, like FE stuff, I guess.
Yeah. I seem to worry more about what other people think than possibly should, but you know, it's kind of comes down to that's what makes a lot of decisions in life, but
I noticed that about TI DOMs. They worry way more about their FE because they're like, am I doing it wrong? Am I doing it right? Or am I like, there's this neuroticism around the FE sometimes that I don't see with the ETPs. So ENTPs and ESTPs tend to be relatively confident with their FE use. But I noticed like with the TI DOMs, sometimes there's doubting involved in that process.
Could it be that they subconsciously feel, it's slightly weaker, so I want to be sure I do it right? I mean, I'm not suggesting, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And it's this insecurity about being judged sometimes too. Mm. And so I held an INTP panel recently. They were talking to friends about how the panel went. And they're like, they were talking about themselves and how they think that I hate them. And I'm like, I don't hate you. You did fine. They're all having this internal insecurity about their performance and about how people are viewing them and about about how they're coming off or something that I don't hear like FE tertiaries talking about.
No, I think we do grand gestures with our FE that it's basically like, bro, whatever, man, I do my part. Like after this, I'm having a barbecue and I bought like freaking $100 worth of meat, you know what I'm saying? So if I accidentally cut this person off or whatever, like whatever, like the way I see it, as long as
there's always a good meal at the end of the day, right?
Exactly. As long as I'm providing good experiences and whatnot, I don't really worry about it. But also, I don't think I really make mistakes in that arena either, because FE is very much on autopilot. But sometimes maybe if there's like rules like at work, I might be like, is this some, I think where we struggle is FI, figuring out what's going on internally with people. When am I crossing the line? Like we went to a happy hour and my coworker was like, It was basically just like coming on to me, like touching on me and stuff. And I was like, so, I mean, what's the line here? Like, should I do? I think other people are like, dude, obviously don't mess with her. And I was like, oh, I mean, like, what's the line though? Like, if somebody
out, like, let me touch the, let me violate the line a little bit. And cause I want to know, there's an experience you had there, even if it's just going to the line and looking over, yeah. Going, maybe not, but
yeah. Yeah. I'm always like, what's the line? Like it tends not to affect either. Like, I feel like, with lack of that FI, we don't worry. Like, if we went out and my buddy was hitting on this chick and my other buddy is an ESFJ was with us and he was worried. He was like, oh, like he's being really touchy-feely. I don't know if she likes it. And I was like, dude, relax. She likes it. He knows what he's doing. If it was a big deal, she would react to it. And he was like freaking out. And I was like, no, we're going to go over here and we're going to let him do his thing. What happens? We get back to their apartment because they're roommates. And she's in there sitting on his lap. I'm like, exactly, dude. Like, so sometimes that lack of FI or caring helps me, but I definitely, per se, I prefer to act as if there's not a line because that's what works for me as ATP. And it usually works out fine. But yeah, if I knew where one was, I don't. I couldn't tell you where people at all. Don't know if you relate, Boris, but.
Maybe not in the same. Yes and no, I test boundaries, but I'm also very mindful. Like, it's really just I'm not saying violate, but you slightly overstretch and then you see if something happens and then you take the response. You read a person, which I think FE allows you to do, but it's often just in good fun. There is no taking advantage of people, right? That's the last thing I want to do. But sometimes you want to challenge somebody and you get some interesting results.
Yeah.
When you just step over and like, oh, okay. Well, I would have never thought of, I wouldn't have expected that of you, but hey.
Yeah.
You mentioned something interesting, FI, though, because for me, I mean, we love TI. How do you feel about FI? Because for me, it's the most challenging function to navigate because it clashes with TI. But have your own opinion, right? I don't want to.
I don't know if you've ever spoken like or debated with like EFPs, but I find that's where I have the most challenge with the FI because I'll say something that I think is logically just accurate. And for them, it's like, how could you say that? And it goes down this route where I'm like, whoa. Like, I don't know where this is going. And it's hard for me with EFPs. I have a lot of EFP buddies, but when stuff starts to escalate, they are very hard for me to de-escalate with because it seems like everything I say just escalates it. So in my experience, like that TI FI tripwire is definitely there. And also they say some stupid shit that pisses me off too. It goes back and forth.
I find interesting you said EFPs. For me, I would say IFPs might even be a little more touchy because they may be a more delayed response, but then it is Armageddon.
Yeah, I know. Like with INFPs, ISFPs, I haven't really had issues. With them, it's more so like I might be pressing them to hang out and go out too much and they'll do it for a little bit and then they'll just go ghost for a week or two and be like, hey, dude, sorry. Like I just needed to catch up on rest or whatever. With INFPs, they'll generally at my birthday party, I had a surprise birthday party for my 22nd birthday party and my buddy was an INFP who came through. And I guess I had done some things in the past, so he thought it was a good idea to kind of like throw a shot and make a pass at the girl I was dating at that time, and it blew up. And so he handles stuff like where it's like, okay, you've done all this transactional FI hurting stuff to me. Now I'm going to step on your boundaries, which for me, like I'll immediately like react to like what that was going on because I didn't know there was that. Like I said, it all goes back to, if I can't see it, if you don't talk to me about it, I don't know it's generally happening with FI. So I've hit that with INFPs as well.
What about the ITPs? Because I don't want this to be an extrovert dom thing. What do you guys think, Jay, Spacey?
That's the what our interactions are with FI.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. How do you find it easy to navigate? Is it a miracle or mystery to you? Or do you find it's you're walking on eggshells?
I kind of think that, I walk on eggshells all the time with it. Cause it, if I'm confronted with someone that seems to be very emotionally attached to something, you know, whether it's an idea or a way of their life or, it causes a lot of problem because, I guess I don't have that connection. And you know, like even like my wife and I went out to eat last night, and we were sitting in a restaurant, and I looked across, and there was this booth where these man and this woman are sitting next to each other eating, and they get up and he holds her hand while they go to eat. And I looked at her and I said, wow, they must be just started dating or just started married. And she goes, Jay, sometimes couples do that even after they've been married for 20 years. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm pretty sure, you know, like in my opinion, that would be, you know, like that whole FI thing, you know, cause it's not something that like, I don't have that connection. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me too. I don't know, but
do you know your wife's type?
Well, she's supposed to be an ESTJ, but I'm not really too certain on that. She likes to tell me what to do all the time, so I just believe it.
And willingly comply.
Yes. Yes. I need to do dishes after I'm done with this. So.
Nice.
Well, Joyce covered like the whole insecurity aspect, I guess, in terms of like how we're perceived and being judged by people or whatever. But it's pretty clear to me that the extroverts here, kind of like Charles was talking about, like you guys literally just do whatever you're doing and then people react to it. And then you see their reaction.
For me, I thought everybody was doing this. So, like I said, I thought this was how it worked. But I'm learning, like, there's different modes.
Well, right. But sorry about that. You guys just don't, you don't worry about what you're doing until somebody reacts negatively, basically. There's no, like, pre-worrying about how they might react or anything along those lines. It's kind of like,
there's no worrying, but there is at least for me, a projection of what I believe to be the response. And then I test that theory, but there's a deliberate, what it could be. And there's also a caution of if I read a person saying, okay, you know what? I won't do that with that person because I've seen two very subtle signs. And it's not about taking advantage of them. It's really, it's about an experience. It's about having an authentic, real, fun, or exciting exchange with a stranger, right? So
yeah.
Charles and I might just flirt with somebody that I'm not really interested, but it's just like, hey, they're playing, that's great. But it's
yeah, not that it's almost like it's just not that deep.
Right.
Like for me, like where I'm just like, I can vibe with anybody, vibe with everybody. And like, I think just growing up, putting so many different situations where you talk to people and you kind of learn what works and what doesn't. And then that just becomes your personality and you just do it. And then, I just expect people to react positively. Honestly, like I'm like, you know, there's not much a big deal here. Like we're going to die one day. So like, I don't want to miss out on anything or miss out on connecting or experiencing whatever I want to experience. I'm gonna be pissed if I'm on my deathbed. I'm like, man, you know what?
That really girl, did. Oh my God, 1999 or 2015.
Yeah, like, why didn't I get like a chick with a J. Lopez ass or some stuff? You know what I'm saying? I don't want like
that. Juicy.
Yeah, exactly. Juicy, bro. So like for me, like that's how I think. And I think that's what leads to that.
But I guess for my part, I actually have got to a point where like I really kind of care about how I affect people. Like there were times when I was younger, for example, where like I was just being like a total TI like dick mode and just kind of like stepping on people's feelings and stuff. And then like one time, right, there'll be this one time where somebody actually starts crying because I said something I said to them and I'm just like, oh shit. And those are the moments that like slam me in my brain. And it's like, I really need to like be a better person or like learn how to like, you know, carry myself in a way where people are like, you know what? I can say whatever I want about him. Like I can say he's weird or like he's a nerd or blah, 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 blah. But at least I can't say that he's a shitty person.
Yeah.
And that's basically the only way that I kind of get out of that anxious mode where it's like, you know what? Like I'm just going to be cool to people and otherwise like not worry about how I'm perceived.
Yeah, that's the vibes. Yeah, yeah, it's like, yo, I can get along with people. I can have a good time. We can have a good experience together. Like, as long as I'm not making their day bad or shitting on them or, like you said, making people cry, like, I'm in a good place, you know? Like, there's nothing really that's going to – what am I doing wrong? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think you kind of – you hit the nail on the head and came to the same exact realization. Maybe that's how us TPs do it. That's how we see it. You know, as long as I'm positive, everybody else should be positive.
Jay looks like he's really thinking. There's some.
I was actually just thinking that I probably would consider being a mercenary if, like, the school, you know, people would have told me that when I went into the counselor's office back, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how you get that job, but.
Does that connect to the FE thing or?
I think it's lack of FI probably, because, I mean.
Oh, like why you, I yeah, honestly. I
you know, like if you don't have a problem with it, then there must be something that, you know, like that's not your personal connection to it, I would think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because like, honestly, I guess you're right. I was talking to a buddy yesterday and he was kind of running through how he lives his life. And I was telling him, like, I don't really care. And he's like, other people do though. And that's something that I think us TI users miss. Cause that mercenary thing, I can think just based off the conversation yesterday, maybe somebody wouldn't like that, but I couldn't imagine why. Who cares?
Like, yeah. But you know, like, somewhere I read one time that, you know, they like ISTPs and ESTPs for military purposes, you know, like maybe that's because of their low FI.
Yeah.
That, you know, like if they are sent out on the front line, it isn't going to bother them near as much if they're confronted with death and gore and all that, or if some of the things they have to do, they disengage from their inner emotions and their ties to it to get the job done with, you know, like your SE and TI.
It's like killer instinct. I think we definitely have access to that when we need to.
It goes to the TI detachment. And so it's the ability to detach yourself.
Because we analyze, like at the football game earlier today, there was a big guy right in front of the end zone and he was bigger than me. And I just calculated like he can handle this. So I literally just shut off and then ran through him into the end zone and was like, the guys came up to me afterwards and was like, dang, dude, that was kind of something, huh? And I was like, no, like it's just I needed to get into the end zone. So and he's standing there and this is a game. And so I kind of have to shut off and do what I got to do. Simple as
that. And that was kind of a tactical decision that you made.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's kind of,
yeah.
I mean, one way or another, you know, like if you're a sniper or if you're a football player going to the end zone to make a play, you know, that is a tactical decision. You know, I don't know how that relates to like NTPs, but you know, if there's similar things like that.
Yeah. Do you guys relate to that?
Probably not as direct, right? I think there would be some deliberation and not as much of an impulse, I'll do it now, right? But I could, I mean, I don't want to, in the right circumstance, I could have an assassin type of outlook on things. Like if somebody wrongs me or God forbid a friend of mine, I have been really cruel to just execute. They're more schemes, right? You use the system. I mean, without going to getting somebody fired that bullied a friend of mine, I've been able to do that twice. And they didn't even know who it was. But it's a different, it's sort of like pulling strings behind the scenes, just having the right people know the right thing at the right time, and then that person was gone.
Yeah.
But I don't have the Charles is more like, it's more physical. It's like he will act. And Jay is, I mean, when I think sniper, I think ISTP. For me, the two are kind of interchangeable.
Yeah. I've noticed that ISTPs can really figure out how to game a system against you, are the ones that I've known.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of mention of tactics, which is a part of the SP, artisan, and improviser temperament. They're known for tactical thinking, like knowing how to leverage things to use in a tactical format almost.
Yeah, definitely helps a lot in business, like with business deals and stuff, because it's not, I think I've talked to you about this before, Joyce, it's not always, it's like the physical world, but it's almost just like leverage and pressure, even in a conversation, or even if it's like networking or politicking at work or whatever. I feel like SCPs really understand this to a T, even though that FE is lower, better than FJs even, and can really outmaneuver ENTJs, like all of them, Like, that's our playing field when it comes to climbing an organization or whatever it may be. And I think even ESFPs can be good at this too, if they can like focus and focus on like actually, you know, grinding. Cause I know a lot of the ones that I've met, they're just like, oh, I don't want to do that with my life. Why would I focus on one thing? But like, if they did, they'd be freaking powerhouses with that SE.
Yeah. And Spacey?
I kind of find it hard, very hard to relate to any of that. Like, yeah, I suppose I could approach things with like a tactical mindset or figure out ways in which I could leverage certain things, but I just have no inclination to like utilize it.
Oh, that trickster SE for INTPs.
Pretty much just do my own thing. I pretty much just try not to get noticed so that I can get away with whatever I want to do. That's the best way I can put it. And also get on people's good sides so that they won't be inclined to give me any shit about it.
Yeah. I wonder if like, because I notice with whenever I talk to like my ENFP mentor, ENTP buddy I have, like all of them seem to not relate, similar to what Spacey just said. It's like they just don't notice or care about like different, whatever it may be, whether it's like a territorial dispute or if it's over resources. Like if there is like, let's say a promotion or something and that's more money, you know, like they, ENFPs especially, like the NE Dom seem to not, they seem to be very detached from the physical world of like having things. Whereas, which I think is a good thing, but I've wondered if that's comes from the whole lack of SE thing or whether, because I'm always like, I always admire it. Like in my ENFP buddy, how like he's just like, oh yeah, I mean, if they take it, if he gets the higher salary, he gets it. I'm like, man, I wish I could think like that, but I just simply, no matter how hard I try, like I can't help it. It hits me in the face that I'm like taking an L here or losing something. And I wondered if that's like SE that picks up on that or what that is compared to like what's going on with the NPs.
Yeah, probably.
Good answer.
I would say maybe to a lesser extent. I mean, there's a time delay. For example, when I was my first job was as a co-op student, later on became my main, my first full-time job for many years. But for a while, I was actually taken advantage of in terms of salary. And it took me a while. I was so happy doing what I did. But then with some delay, at one point, I quit. I had to quit for one day, and then I got like a $15,000 raise. But I look back, I'm like, dude, my friend with INTJ, he had those 15 grand a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
So we're slower, but eventually it gets to you too, especially you hate losing, you hate being taken for a sucker. But I think we're not as good and proactive as you guys are.
Okay. That makes sense. Because I'm always like, man, you're getting a losing deal here. And I'll be very like, no, like, because I think that FE kicks in where I'm like, no, you're not going to put up with this. But like, it's like, I can't believe you don't care about this. And it's like, I think it's that SE. And so that makes sense. Like eventually it will kick in because I have a situation like that with a buddy who actually works for me right now where I'm like, you should probably ask for more since I'm having you do all this stuff. That's not my decision. But at the end of the day, like.
That's funny. He works for you. It's like, look, you should ask me for a raise because I think you deserve one.
He's an assistant, but like I don't handle the payroll. It's my boss who handles all of us. But like at the end of the day, it's like, I feel like, you should be more battling. You know, I'm watching the other guys that are playing the game and going really hard, and you don't seem to care about that. But happier at the end of the day, it seems like, than the other guys. So pick your poison.
A tapeworm is happy, but is he informed? I don't know.
Who knows?
It is true that ESTPs are hyper aware of the deal that they're getting. The SE is just so aware of the immediate sensorial exchange, and the TI is very calculative. Yeah.
So every battle needs to be won. Like, I'm not going to just sit there and not take this battle. If there's resources at stake, like if it's something stupid, I might let it go. But if it's something that affects me, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's why ESTPs get the title of the ultimate realist, because it is very realist to notice what's happening in the world.
Actually. Yeah, very aware.
One of the big differences between these types here is that the ENTP and INTP have NE high up. That can sometimes cause a detachment to your body. I don't know if this applies for just people in general, if this is a human experience, so feel free to correct me. But I noticed intuitive types tend to sometimes be disconnected from their body. They feel like a floating head to talk about ideas and abstract concepts or theories, and less so connected to their being on a default whole. But maybe that has to do with disassociation as well. Introverts are more likely to be dissociated from their body, and a whole host of other factors too. Trauma could play into it.
To some extent, yes. I mean, I think I actually enjoy connecting with my body, being aware of it. But compared to an ESTP, and I mean, I've said this in other, I enjoy dancing. Like I do salsa dancing, all kinds of things, swing. But yeah, I look at ESTPs and they have something I don't. For me to, like, I was very clumsy at the beginning. They used to call me a robot, I remember, in one class. Now I'm very, I think, really fluid, But it took me, an ESTP, they just pick stuff up and it's just they do it in the moment. For me, it's, I have to let it sit on me. I have to understand every little minutia. And then at some point, I own it. It makes it into the part of my brain that probably is related to SE. And then I think I own it to a point where I believe I might even be slightly better at the high end than an ESTP, because I know every part of the movement. I can tell you where my weight has to be, and then I make it a subconscious process. But an ESTP picks 80% of what I know up in 10% of the time. Whereas for me, it's challenging to learn something new mechanical. I can get good at it, but it's a long process. Whereas an ESTP, they're just, oh yeah, oh, I just do it. I'm like, just do it? What do you mean? I need to sit with it.
Yeah, I've noticed that about my ENTP buddy is really good at golf. And he didn't start out that way, but like I think he is probably better than me. Even though I picked it up very quick and I'm newer than him, but like at the same time, I just think he's probably the best golf player I've seen, just because he does care so much. I think because it's that inferior SI, he cares about being good at that and really going through every different parts. I'd say like ISTJs too. I know we're not talking about, but like just SI in general really helps you figure out how to do things the correct way over a long time.
It's true. Yeah. So one of the ways this can show up too is through personal trainers at gyms. You have people at the gym who are NPs, so have any higher up, and you have people in the gym who are SE higher up. This is a trend. Of course, this is not going to apply for everyone. But the NP is more likely to know all the nuances of the theory of how to do the movement. And that's almost like they have the theory down pat, and they have like a lot of theoretical knowledge. Like the personal trainers who are NPs know a lot of the theory behind what it means to be a personal trainer, but they may not be the most fit person at the gym because they forget to apply it or they don't really use their knowledge. Whereas the ESTP or the SP, you're going to look at them and they're like, fit. Because they put more into application. They're more likely to. This is just a generality, of course.
Yeah.
So who do you want to be trained by and who do you want to go home with? Never mind. Maybe one or the other. I don't know.
I think for me anyways, like I can't dance.
Yet. But,
like, yeah, I guess. Like your heavy equipment operators and all them kind of people that drive race cars and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's kind of an extension of your body, you know, and I think a lot of those could possibly be ISTPs that operate some of that kind of equipment. And, you know, like if you've ever seen videos of people that can like pick up a pop can with a backhoe or, you know, I think a lot of that times that's sometime them kind of personality types. Whether it be ESTPs or ISTPs, but, you know, like, I think, you know, that's kind of how that relates to me anyways, you know, like maybe I can't dance, but I can make some piece of machinery move in a certain way that can be like a dance, you know?
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's funny. Yeah. And Spacey?
I mean, I'm definitely super dissociated most of the time. Like I'm barely even looking at the world around me or whatever. I'll say when I did used to go to the gym, yeah, like I researched the hell out of everything and made sure that my form was like perfect for all my lifts. And I'd always be like super, super duper conscious about it. And I'd be constantly adjusting all my movements while I'm doing it. But it did get to a point where, like, some random personal trainer looked at me and he's like, bro, that is, like, the best squat I've ever seen anyone
do. You're like, are you hitting on me, dude? Are you hitting on me?
But, you know, so, yeah, I took it really seriously, mostly because I really didn't want to hurt myself because I'd already done that once before while I was lifting. And I was like, fuck, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
So I can really zone into and focus on all my muscles and joints and what's going on inside and with my body and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what's coming at me from the environment, like, I'm not going to respond unless I absolutely have to. Sometimes even when I'm talking to people, I'm probably still dissociated and it's just running on autopilot and I'm not listening to most of the words they're saying unless it's like the few key words that I need to hear so that I can do what I need to do.
Is that a TI thing, do you think? Or is that the disassociation you're talking about?
I mean, the dissociation is probably the intuitive part and maybe the positioning of SE as well. Because as you can see, Boris, he's leading with intuition, but he's still way more present than I am probably here. But yeah, I guess I'm kind of like... I like using the frog on a lily pad sort of metaphor where, like, they're sitting there and they literally don't move at all. Maybe you'll see, like, their eyes move and then they'll be tracking this fly that's buzzing around them. And then eventually their tongue just darts out and they eat the fly. Like, that's what I'm like. I'm just absolutely.
How did you make it through the winter? There are no flies in the winter.
I'm just maximizing the return on, like, the little effort that I do have to. That I can get myself to expend.
Yeah.
And I'm mostly just avoiding conflict and resistance. Like I even hate having to like convince people of something. I'm the kind of guy where it's like, you'll see that I'm right. I don't want to argue with you all day about it. And I don't want to like fight for a promotion or a raise or something. Cause I'm like, they should see that I'm a good worker and they should just give me a raise, you know?
And the first part is true. They see you're a good worker, but you don't get the raise. I learned that the hard way.
But it would definitely take me a really long time to like risk the potential conflict there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's where I think SE kicks in reality, because it's like they should, but this person over here, who's of course looks super friendly and like they're a mentor or whatever. This person's affecting that and playing the game. And this person's over here doing this. And then this guy has a conflicting interest right here that could step in front of what's happening here. So while it should go this way, there's 10 things happening right now that are going to make it go this way, that way, and that way. And then that's where I think SE, and you can key me in if you agree with this, Jay. So like, it's like SE is picking up on how things are about to be affected. If I'm the best worker, I'm not going to let smooth-talking ENFJ come in here and manipulate the situation, or ENTJ.
What about an ENTP, huh?
ENTP.
Same. But we don't have the drive. We don't have the drive. I was just sure.
ENTPs are always allies because, I don't know, like, there's just certain types that don't care enough, but there definitely a lot of the EJs do care and are going to have that same drive to, nope, I should have it regardless if I deserve it. Like, I have this status or I have that, I should have this, you know, like, and it's one of those things where I think ESTPs, ISTPs, will, ESFPs as well will key in on and be like, nope, let's rearrange this. It just depends if they're competent enough to make it happen, because that matters too. Not everybody's the same.
Yeah, so that does go back to the tactical awareness that the ESTP has. You know when the cards are being played in a certain way and you're like, all right, tactically, I should play this card if they play this card. So...
Yeah.
It's the NI foreseeing how it's going to go, and the SE is going to act too.
What it really is, I think, is a lack of that intuition. I do not trust things to go the way I want them to. Like, I notice any users, NI users, when I talk to them, whether it's at work, whatever it may be, they really do like, you know, like, this is just the natural progressions of how things go over time, where I'm like, I think I just have an insecurity with that there. So for me, it's like, okay, I need to make it this path. And it's just because it's weaker. Like, I noticed they can more so just sit there and flow and nudge as they need to. For me, it's like, no, I need to form this every second to what I need it to be, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. And I saw you unmute, Jay, so I thought you might have something to say.
I did, but I lost my train of thought. I think it was, you know, kind of like that. It sounds like when he's talking about, you know, like promotions and all that, that you kind of evaluate what other people have to offer and possibly, you know, compare yourself to that. Yeah. So, you know, like if someone walks in, you know, I always gauge a conversation or a new person that works with you off of, you know, like you kind of almost test them a little bit, not necessarily like in a devious way, but you know, like you kind of like, oh yeah, what do you know? Because you know what you know, but you don't know what anyone else knows. So, you know, like once you kind of get a feel for that, then it's kind of like, well, are you valuable? You know, like, are you as valuable as me, or am I maybe need to improve something to be more valuable? You know, it's always a competition like that too. Cause there's, you know, like in you're playing ball or something, you know, a lot of times if one player knows that they don't get played as much, you know, they can always go to the gym and, you know, practice or, you know, whatever. And then they're going to be able to improve their skills.
Yeah.
And I don't know how like that affects in like extroverted intuition versus extroverted sensing, but you know, like I definitely see that in ISTP and ESTP.
Yeah. And I'll look at what my strengths are and what theirs are inherently. And then I'll be like, okay, well, they're going to use theirs. I'm going to use mine. If they happen to line up, then it's like, you just got to have effort more on your side because your skills are going to cancel each other's out. If you have two of, let's say like the same MBTI type with the same competence level, they're going to be using those skills and they're going to cancel each other out. So now it's about effort.
Right.
But that's how I look at like people and whatnot.
It's a very dog eat dog world, Charles. It seems like your extroverted sensing at the dominant slot notices how you lose opportunities if you don't act. Like, yep. Look at all those lost opportunities if you just don't act. Like, you're losing all of the... But yeah, NTP, what are your thoughts?
Did we not... Okay, can you rephrase? I thought I might have spoken to the question, but maybe there's a nuance that I missed. Can you...
Oh yeah, Jay, what was your question again?
Yeah, I lost it again.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
His question was he was talking about how STPs are kind of noticing the strengths and weaknesses of other people. Can you...
And kind of gauging yourself on that and, you know, like saying, well, I'm more valuable because I noticed that I have improvements over this person.
You know, I think I would be aware of it. The problem is I don't care as much as you guys do because I'm at some level I'm arrogant. It's like, well, I'm superior anyways, which is a self-mockery. So I think I'm aware of it, but I don't care as much about the immediate objective of making more money or climbing the ladder. Yeah. There's so many other interesting things I could do, but I think I'm very aware of it. And if it becomes important, we can really subtly play a social environment, but most of the time we lack motivation.
Yeah.
We're not like, oh, this is wrong. Like, yeah. So what, am I getting paid? But it's fun. And this is other thing. I might go to this other company. Oh, I'm having such a great time. Oh, I love this project. We're not like, oh no. I'm leaving $5,000 on the table in these 6 months. I'm going to do something about it. We don't have that drive. If we do, I think we can social engineer, but we need a kick in the butt. Or we act with some delay.
Yeah, I can agree with a lot of that. I mean, what I can say is I am not making these like comparisons where like, oh, this guy has these skills and I have these skills. I have to make these broad strokes where it's like, I'm just going to work my ass off and I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to improve my skills as much as I possibly can, like independent of anyone else. And once I reach a point where I feel like I've basically mastered everything, at that point I will have the confidence to basically, you know, start making demands or start making moves. But it's kind of like an all or nothing sort of deal.
Yeah. So it seems like negotiation tactics come from confidence too. So it's almost like INTPs are slightly more likely to need to feel competent before, like, 100%, 10,000% competent before they even consider asking.
Right.
Yeah. So extroverted feeling too seems to be playing a role in this, because it's almost like ESTPs understand that a part of the raise comes from the FE social politics of it too. It's not just your skills. And yep. So it's like, all right, you got to play the social politics. Whereas the INTP is like, not really focusing on the FE game and the SE game?
Yeah, I think it comes from like, because I think inherently we feel the same way that you do, Spacey. But then if we see, let's say, this person who lacks competency getting what you see all the time, like, I think it bothers us, the SE, like, redistribution of resources. Why is this person who's an idiot getting a raise or whatever? And so then you start to realize, like, that's where I think where we were saying, Jay, the comparison comes in, because it's like, okay, are you really there? Are you really that guy or that woman that deserves, like, it's like a comparison of like, where's the competency level at? Because there's hella people that don't even know the first thing about their jobs that are very high up in companies making hell. And that, I think, since we see the reality or whatever, and I think everybody can see this, but we're so launched into it, it's like, why am I taking orders from this idiot? And so that's where I think through those experiences, at least for me growing up, where I started to notice, like, it started in high school. I started to notice, like, this person's an idiot, or this person's an asshole, or this person, but everybody else thinks this because all these separate factors that don't really correlate to competency or anything that matters. So now I've got to be my own with my own TI, make my own sense of logic of this hierarchy. And I'm going to take it upon myself to like mold it as I see fit in that moment, because like, I know a lot of what I'm saying sounds cutthroat. It's not cutthroat. Like, very positive environments, get along great with all my coworkers, never had any issues. But I think it stems from understanding when I was younger, especially like high school, was the when I joined the football team and I saw how much, like, how different people treated me, even though I was like, I mean, honestly, like, because I think with TI, we know who we are. We know a lot of where we stand. So we don't really make bold claims of where we're not. It's people around us who come around and all these different social things going on that affect where you stand and affect where you lay. So it's really important to me, for me, I think I learned growing up to be aware of where I'm at in this hierarchy and what I need to do to get to the correct point and what I need to do to make sure the person who's not operating correctly gets above and has some control over me, because you don't want that, you know?
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to learn about the Linda Barron's interaction styles, because all that you're hearing Charles say is like very in charge interaction style. So I'll link it below as well.
I think one thing Charles said though is about how we nudge. Like, I kind of just wait for the right moments in time to like do a little nudge on people. And I think that's pretty much how I navigate, like, I guess the work politics or whatever. I think part of it could actually be that my FI is good enough or whatever, and maybe NI demonstrative. There's a lot of things it could be, but I basically spend a lot of time, I guess, thinking about how other people might be thinking and how they might be feeling. And I end up in this space where I'm sort of like saying just the right thing to just the right person at just the right time every now and then. And I end up in this situation where everyone kind of likes me because I like put in that little bit of extra effort to kind of understand where they're coming from and stuff. And I know how to make them laugh. And
yeah,
I sort of just kind of get ahead to the point where everybody kind of wants to be on my side. So it's like, hopefully I'll kind of be at a point where, like, just because everybody likes me and everyone appreciates me or whatever, that I'll kind of be in a good position, whatever might come down the road.
And I think it might also be context dependent. Really, it depends what organization you're in. I had a friend, she's an INTP. She was in some boring engineering job where she said pretty much everybody was an ISTJ. And she would say, hey, we're doing this manually. How about I write a little program? And it was a futile exercise. She actually quit her job. So it really depends. It's really context dependent what you can or cannot do. Yeah. Charles has these skills, but in a certain environment, he would probably leave because he says, there's nobody here I can appeal to. The whole culture is just past oriented. So you might have, I mean, FE gives you, it's a tool you can use to get a read on what's out there and potentially exploit, not in a utilitarian sense, shape the world around you to get what you need. It's a tool that you have. You might have different degrees of inclination to use it. Charles might be more Clint and Spacey, but still Spacey has that feel, and really ultimately depends what environment.
That are a lot like very confident, like all like, and I'm 25 too. So like my coworkers that I work with are all like 40. Like, and you know, of course race plays into that. Like me, where I come from, and then I'm around all these 6'5" polished white dudes making 300-400K, obviously I got to be able to hold my own and think differently than how I did like back in the day. So it definitely plays in like that environment. You might be going against some real, I know people hate this word, but true quote unquote, like alphas that are ready to get down, you know, that are about some money. And when you're going against those people, you got to think different than somebody like people I just meet on the street every day. That makes sense. Especially being younger too. I'm still trying to figure all this stuff out. So, yeah.
Yeah. Six figures at 25. Nice.
Thanks.
US dollars, not just Canadians. Chump change.
Straight up.
I guess it's dependent on the context, but I guess I end up taking a chameleon approach where I'll just kind of adapt to whatever environment that I find myself in.
Yeah.
Like definitely at first, I had absolutely no idea how to interact with like the kind of blue collar guys that I would be interacting with on like a construction site, and like how to interact with them in a way that they would receive well and they wouldn't just fucking basically spit on me. But I got used to it and I learned how it works. And you know, now I know how to present myself in a way where basically none of them would probably ever guess that I was like a total fucking nerd for most of my life without me telling them.
I'm curious, on a scale of nerdy, where would you situate yourself?
Well, now I'm lower than I was. Sometimes I wonder if I really ever was a nerd exactly, or if I just ended up there because I'm just kind of a fringe person and I just needed hobbies that I could do by myself and stuff along those lines, you know?
Yeah, INTPs are the ones I've worked with. They're very likable and they've had an interesting life path. You guys seem to fall into situations similar to us that are just very, very interesting, interestingly unique and stuff. And so I think that lends you guys to be able to respond to a lot of different people and understand how to build that rapport in a more likable way than some of the more, I guess, robust or upfront personalities can. You guys can really like attract people to you rather than like pushing it out per se. If that makes sense.
No, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, when that's how your mind works and you don't have the SE or whatever, you just have to, right, be in that situation where you attract good things.
Yeah.
How, even if you can't explain it.
And you guys have, I don't know, this is completely off topic, but one thing I've noticed about INTPs is you guys have very interesting comebacks to people. Like if somebody says something, we're at a bowling alley with one of my INTP buddies. I don't remember what he said, but the person giving us the shoes was kind of being a smart ass or something. And generally, like you guys handle that in a very interesting way. ENTPs too, like y'all are very quick-witted as well, but it's just your whole personality. So you guys are always on. With an INTP, it will kind of come out from nowhere. And I think that increases y'all's likability factor as well.
Yeah, we got those one-liners.
Yeah, those one-liners. Cracking me up.
Yeah.
Jay, how do you feel compared to like what Spacey said? Would you agree, or you have a slightly different take on things? You've been thinking. I've seen your eyes going thinking.
No, I think you know, like you got to use what you got, and you know, I don't know.
Oh, it's fine. I was just like an effie moment, making sure Jay feels heard because he might.
Oh, I'm just hoping that all the noise that everybody's making in my house right now isn't affecting anything. So we got kids running around and it was quiet before. So
it's totally fine.
To Spacey's statement, I have to kind of agree to that. Like INTPs, they might be calm, but some of the best arguments or even exchanges, if you get an INTP riled up, they're still calm. But I met once in our MBTI group, there was actually two INTPs. One was not so healthy. I've witnessed one very quiet person stepping into an argument and shredding that other person calmly without any, just with raw, power of the argument, calm delivery, and I would have had a very different approach. It would have been more playful. It was the most intellectual snipe I've seen, and I think an INTP is ideal for that. When it comes to that, they're just, it's totally calm delivery. It's, I disagree with this, and what about this? Like, whoa, this other person was just flat on the floor. We never saw her again.
Literally destroyed, like right on the spot. It's insane.
And there is no malice. It's, you can't even say, oh, you're just angry. It's like, no, okay. What I want to say about this.
It's basically over. Basically, like, whatever, dude. I do what I do, bro. Like,
and no aggression. You can't, when there's no surface they give to expose yourself. They were not aggressive. They were just matter of fact. By the way, on your first point, I want to say, and I disagree with this, and you might want to rethink. And in conclusion, like, pull.
Yeah.
That's magnificent. Going to INTPs for advice, sometimes they're like, you know, you were illogical at this point. Or like, these are some things illogical about your position. It's like, thank you, INTP.
I wanted you to share. I wanted to use your FE to make me feel better. I don't want you to fix my life and tell me why I'm wrong. I know I'm not feeling so well.
So we talked a little bit about inferior FE and how it shows up in the TI DOMs. I'm wondering how inferior NI and SI show up in ESTPs and ENTPs, and if that can be a point of differentiation too.
Well, I can only speak about SI. I mean, SI to me is, it's part of my stack, but for me, it's the slave. It's the thing that keeps information. It has some value, but it's almost like it's a piece of furniture. It's not the thing that runs the show. It's of utility. It's annoying, but I need to use it. So
yeah,
I compare it to, it's a filing shelf where I put all the stuff that an ENTI can use to come up with ideas or decisions, but it's kind of undervalued, even though I know it is of value, but it's the necessary. But Charles, for you, it's different. It's NI, right?
Yeah. Like, I think for NI, I don't necessarily not like it. I just don't think I really use it in the way that, say, like an INFJ would. I feel like whenever I talk to INFJs, I'll be like, you know, what was going on with this person? Like, cause sometimes I don't pick up on that. So I'll be like, what was going on with this person? They didn't seem like themselves. Like, where's, like, what's going on? And like, she'd be like, well, she's just having a bad day. And I'm like, really? She's having a bad day? Like, explain. And she's like, it could be these things. And she can get into all this nuance with that NI. I'll usually use NI, like, I'll go out on my porch on like, or not porch, a balcony. And like, I'll just sit out there and I'll just, you know, close my eyes, and I think meditation is like NI. So I just like breathe deep and just think about like life and where I'm at in it and all that. And I think that's NI. Like, NI is kind of one of those things that's just a little bit fleeting for me, because I don't think even INF or INTJ, I don't know if y'all even have conscious control of your NI. Like, besides maybe a visualization exercise, doesn't it just come and go as it pleases? I don't know. It's not concrete like SI.
Yeah.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. And so some of the ways that NI can show up lower down is, it's like, you can think about the future, yeah, and you can visualize it, but anything could happen. So it's like something could come in and throw off your plan completely. And it's like that awareness of, well, anything could happen.
And yeah.
Another thing too is the length of the typical projections. So with SE dominant types, they tend to, the length of the projections, the typical ones are a little bit more immediate. So it's like, all right, I forecast that this is going to happen right along with this, but it's like immediate forecasts. It's not like the long projected ones that higher up does as much often.
Gotcha. So it's like, it'd be like, what do I want to do later or tomorrow type of projections. Is that what you mean by like that short? Or?
Or even like if you're rowing a boat, it's knowing exactly how to hit the row at a certain angle to go faster.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's what I'd say. I experience it in doing, like, I experience NI almost in a physical way. Well, when I'm experiencing it well and not trying to use it, when I'm actually actively trying, like I said, it's really about, because I don't know what's going to happen in the future, I couldn't give you details, but I can give you parameters that I want. Like, I want my life to be this way, or it would be ideal to have this situation, because then I could have as many experiences if I want, if I'm set up this way or that way or whatever. And maybe like Enneagram 3 plays in this, I don't know. But as far as like how I look at the future, a lot of it has to do with benchmarks that I feel like I need to hit to continue the life that I enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You also might have 8 in your tri-type too, Charles, because a lot of your language...
What a surprise.
Because a lot of the language you use is war language. You know how I said like you use a lot of dog-eat-dog world?
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a war language that 8s tend to use.
Interesting. Yeah, I've been told that I'm an 8, but I always said I was a 3 because I'm so interested in like flashy stuff. And
that's the SE materialism, like the yeah.
And in a tri-type, you can combine them all. Just pick one more, and then that's it, right?
I think
8,
so.
3, 3, 8. What's the third? I don't know. Joyce is a practitioner now. Maybe she knows.
Yeah, I mean, you could be 3 at the top, and then 8 somewhere in your tri-type. But you have 8 in there because you're okay with shoving people, and it's also
I get that feeling too. And wouldn't that be a common type with ESTPs as well? 8, what do you, Joyce?
Eight and 3 are the most common ESTP, and 7s is the most common ESTP Enneagram types.
Yeah, and what's interesting about Enneagram, I feel like it changes, not change like your type, but with that tri-type based on situations. I might be a 7 here, I might have to be an 8 for this situation, or a 3 for here. I don't know if that's how it works, but that's how I almost feel like it works, because you have different faces you show at different times for different things. You wouldn't act with your college buddies.
Well, there's a 7 quality to extroverted sensing too, because it's about enjoying things, and 7's all about soaking in the fun of life.
I relate to that. Like, I think I might have a 7 because I just want to experience life to the fullest and have fun. And there's all this other stuff that impinges on that. So then that's when I have to do what I have to do to make sure I can sell my good experiences and whatnot.
Yeah. You could have all 3 of those types together, like 3, 7, 8. So they make up a tri-type.
That's right.
Isn't that a question of definition? Because tri-type implies out of the 9, there are 3 that you favor. I think of it, you have different sets of tools. I'm not a hunter, but I'm saying you have different hunting tools. Sometimes you use that knife, that knife, that knife. It's just your preferred tool set out of a set of 9, right? So it doesn't mean one is, well, one might be preferred, but you still, these are the 3 that you use. And sometimes you use a skinning knife. And really, I'm totally anti-animal killing. I'm just using an analogy that an ESTP might be able to relate to. I'm just kidding.
And so to end off the panel, maybe we can do a scenario question. So I'll give you guys a case study, and we'll see how all 4 of you
react to
the situation.
Let's know.
Okay. If anyone has any things they'd like to throw out for the case study, you can do it too. I'm trying to generate out of my non-existent any, like a possible scenario. So
this would be for you guys, Boris and Spacey, to throw some, because I can't help that.
Boris and Spacey, do you want
to
come up?
Are you trying to get the train dilemma where you have to kill the person? Are you trying to elicit?
I want
to
give any type of scenario that might illustrate the differences in how you approach it, or maybe similarities of how a TP would approach it, or just you, any kind of case study.
is this like the older under the bridge question?
NE needs a valid seat, then we can go crazy. But if people say just make up anything with anything, I'm like,
okay, yeah, all right, then I have just the question. Let's do the trolley problem. And so you have a trolley. Oh, Jay, you have background noise, so you might want
to
like...
He was trying to do the trolley soundtrack.
And so you have a trolley, and it's heading towards 5 people strapped onto a railroad track on one side, and it's headed towards that anyways. And you have the option of changing the trolley track to only hit 1 person on a different track. But then you have to make the choice to do that. Well, do you just go the natural track and kill more people? Or would you just make the choice to hit that 1 person? But you made that choice.
You can't make it more interesting. Like,
yeah,
like it's 5 middle-aged men and 1 pregnant woman or something like that.
Yeah, then you can always.
Yeah.
That's technically 2 people, or maybe 3. There could be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Spacey changed the conditions with his extroverted intuition. So
what it will come down to is that you can You can parameterize it so that either one will be chosen. For example, it could be your parent, your spouse, your kid that you have to kill for these five people. I think most people would probably pick the relative. So it's sort of, you can graze on that into any direction where you flip or don't flip the switch. Yeah. But what you can maybe tickle out is, would you be willing to actually, you have to make the decision, you have to actively pull a lever versus you can say, oh, I just let life unfold itself. I think maybe, and would an SE more be more likely to actually jump into action? I don't think for me. I think it would really be in the specifics of the situation. Do I know that person? Do I not know the other people? What are their life expectancies? It's really, it's in the parameters. I would tend to favor killing less, but I mean, if that person's dear to me and I don't know the others, it depends on the specifics.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm also seeing like, it's not just what you answer, it's how you answer. So I'm seeing what information you see as missing from it. So I'm seeing like where you would, I don't know. I wonder if type is also indicative of how you would answer in questions. Or if you would even ask questions.
I mean, yeah, I would basically say, yeah, that it's like you have to, there's something nice about not touching anything and be like, I wasn't here. None of this is my problem. Whatever happens is not my fault. That would definitely be an inclination that I would have. Although I guess I would like to say that all other factors aside, yeah, I would obviously prefer one person dies than multiple people.
Got it. How about Jay?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at it because, you know, like the world is overly populated, it seems. And
kill them all.
If you could get the trolley to go off the tracks, you could save all the other five and the one and one shot. Maybe not hurt as many people. Well, you know.
Yeah, you could subtract to one and then take the one person off and be good.
No, Jay's talking about killing them. He's not talking about taking them off.
You know, you're either choosing to pull the lever or not, and that's all the only options you have.
Yeah, so I guess me personally, I would go for the one, but you know, because you know, of course, if you have some sort of a connection to them, you're going to feel bad. But you know, like. It's better to lose one life, I feel, than it is to lose five over something like that.
But, don't tell your wife that you said that.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Fascinating. One day there should be a Type Talks trolley episode, just putting different.
One thing I wanted to say, though, which I found interesting, the Spacey statement. To honestly speak about myself, I don't. Some people say they would have the hesitation. Oh. Having to actively do something is a hindrance to do it. In this scenario, it probably wouldn't because I realize inaction is a form of action. So I don't think I would have an issue if I had to pull a lever either way. The fact that I have to pull a lever would be very little of a deterrent to do it. Maybe that's what something to say about TI. I would make a decision based on partially personal value sets. If it's a spouse or a dear one, I might sacrifice five strangers. But whether or not I have to pull a lever would have very little bearing on this, which speaks to detachment, which might be shared among us, or at least for my type.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think it's not about taking action or not. It's more about the moral implications of, you know, actually inserting yourself and affecting things versus it's all about how much moral weight you put on it, right? If you let the train run over the five people, is that a moral failing on your part? Whereas if you pull the lever, you're morally responsible for killing one person.
And what I'm saying is, for me personally, I would have little difficulty with that dilemma of whether I was actively involved. Whereas I think when people discuss this dilemma, for quite a part of the population, especially feelers, the fact that they have to actually, even though they want to just kill one person, if they have to actively pull the lever, they would have more moral qualms than if they don't have to pull it. And I think it's not uncommon, but I would say I would probably not suffer from that issue too much. Whether I need to pull it, in action is too few.
I wouldn't either personally.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't change it much for me either.
But an INFP might. That's why I'm wondering. I'm trying to elicit. Yeah. I'm making conjectures of another type. Like, no, I can't possibly do that because it's I cannot kill anybody, which I can understand. But it, to me, it would be inaction is a form of action.
Yeah.
This is something,
is something that I've heard about. Blind spots are actually kind of good because it allows you to bypass the toxicity of that function. Because one of the things I noticed with FI is they do horrible stuff to each other, whether it's in relationships or whatever, but then they have all these moral things about what they think is correct and whatnot that they put on others.
They.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I've noticed. I've noticed that FI compared to FE users, like FE users will very much, hey, I shouldn't have done this to this person or whatever, but FI will be like, well, I'm justified in this action because of this other thing, FI principle that was violated. And that's not something that I think happens with TI. Like we're very, like you said, with pulling this, we're not going to, the situation is the same regardless of who pulls it. Whereas FI, there seems to be this individual attachment to things that sways whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, that can happen. I would like to think that's only the case with like kind of unhealthy or immature FI users, but I would say overall, I guess you could say a lot of their decisions are more context dependent.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways to see the Jungian functions is the feeling functions are a little more attached. So FI is more attached to the subject and FE is more attached to the objects. So whereas like with TE and TI, you could see them as detachment. So TE is detached to the objects and TI is detached to the subject while subjectively analyzing something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. And so thank you everyone for coming out today and being this great TP squad where y'all are able to make decisions in a detached way without getting your subjective self mixed up with all of it too. So it's nice to see all of the little flavors here.
All the sociopath.
It's a good type of calculative, okay? Or yeah. Being able to remove yourself so you can make tough decisions or that you can think about things without involving your own personal biases and your own cognitive distortions, that you can leave those out. Whereas other people may overly involve their own personal distortions on the situation. You're able to detach yourself and remove yourself. And so thanks, Boris, for being the great squad leader.
I'll have to think about that, what that means.
Yeah. So Boris, he holds the online meetups and also the in-person meetups in my area with the MBTI group. So he's awesome.
Oh, nice. Nice.
He keeps it alive. It's why it's not dead. So
it's on life support. Actually, there's a few people that might hop in and help because it's kind of tough to do this for years on end. So, and Joyce actually said she will be, I just have to ask her and then her FE will force her to, oh yeah, I'll help out. Shit, I had a date that day, but yes, I'll do the group. No problem.
It's okay. I never have dates, so that's not a problem. I'm kidding.
That snapback. Wait a minute.
Why do you think she's trying to get us off the phone? It's like, okay, 2 hours. She's got something lined up. Charles, what do you say? So
perhaps
the flowery dress and everything.
Perhaps, man. There's something hidden there.
There's an ISTP.
You can see it. Clear as day.
Me Joyce. Too. You and I can see it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. TPs no.
That's funny. And so, Charles, thanks for taking time out of your busy six-figure day to talk with us all. Yeah. Well, you're quite, the exemplar of a successful ESTP. And so it's awesome to see how you've been able to reach, like to get to capitalize on the opportunities to reach the success that you've reached. The heights are high and you reach the highest mountains of what it means to hit career, the paramount of success and splendidness. And Jay, thanks for coming out and being the ISTP that this group needs. oftentimes it's really hard to drag ISTPs on panels. And so I appreciate you enjoying being on Tech Talks. Yeah. And I like the FE kind ways that you treat human beings. You seem like an outstanding, nice individual. And Spacey, thanks for coming out and joining us and giving us your frog analogies and how I will never be able to unsee that for INTPs ever again. So, yeah, this was great. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And I'll see you all in the next episode. Thank you.